remains in effect until 1 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow. Well, that shouldn't stop you from seeing a jazz master tonight at Western Michigan University. And if my guests would huddle up to those microphones, that would be wonderful. I would like to introduce the great jazz drummer Carl Allen. Grew up in Wisconsin and has played jazz his entire life. We've seen him in Kalamazoo a few times. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
We have a big career to talk about, but some playing to hear as well. And Keith Hall is both a friend and your sort of faculty guide during this trip to Kalamazoo. Keith, welcome to WMEK once again.
Always great to be here, Kara.
Yeah. This concert begins at 7:30 tonight in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. And as in the past, will you be featured with different student ensembles?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Keith has done an amazing job of assembling a number of groups, different configurations for me to play with the students. And we had some bonding time yesterday to rehearse and talk about some things. And I'm really looking forward to tonight. Some really talented students who are very passionate, and that's what it's all about. We're trying to make some toes tap tonight.
They are passionate, aren't they?
Yeah.
Almost too passionate sometimes.
There's no such thing.
No? It's just they're so full of, like, how and now can I get it now?
Well, you know, it's funny you said that, Carl, because we were talking yesterday about the importance of the need for there to be urgency in one's journey and path, you know, as they develop as young musicians, that sense of urgency. And, you know, passion, I don't care if you have the greatest educator who's ever walked the earth, you can't teach passion. But it's one of those elements that if you don't have it, you need to find something else. Because it's just, this is a 24/7 lifestyle, and you really have to love it. Not to say you're going to love it all the time, you know, but You have to be passionate enough to know you got to put the work in. So,
but don't you realize later on in life that you also need to parse it out a little bit?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, the balance is really important. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes I talk to young musicians and they find it interesting that I actually enjoy doing things other than just music. You know, like watching football, watching basketball, yeah. Reading. You know, but that's important.
Yeah. I talked to Cyrus Chestnut sometime before Christmas, and he was having some downtime.
Yeah,
he was reading, visiting with parents, helping to clean up their apartment,
yeah,
and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
You
have to do that. And, you know, it's interesting because I took a couple of weeks off at the beginning of this year, actually from December 9th until January 5th or something. Just to just do nothing, you know. I remember telling someone, if it wasn't going to church, other than that, I'm wearing sweats and pajamas for the next week, next few weeks, you know. It's like, that's it. And that's pretty much what I did for 3 weeks, and it was great. It was great.
Now, this is the first time you and I have met, but I have a very vivid memory of seeing you, hearing you, many years ago now with Christian McBride, and I really focused on watching you play behind the set. I just got a sense of great energy and great intelligence in reserve for when it was needed.
Oh, thank you.
Like you were so attentive, and then suddenly something would flurry out and you'd go back to like listening and grooving and just... It seemed like you could have played for 24 hours straight because you knew how to hold it in and then show it.
Well, I appreciate that. But that's, you know, that's part of, I guess, what you do when you love it, you know? I mean, people tell me all the time, you know, I so enjoyed watching you because you were always smiling. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even thinking about it because it's, you know, you're just happy being on stage. So.
You also looked like you didn't waste movement. Like you weren't one of the big gestural kind of fellas.
Yeah, I save that for when I'm eating pizza or something. But no, you know, I mean, I spent a lot of time. I was very fortunate and blessed to have come up at a time where a lot of the true masters and legends of this music were still alive. and having time to, you know, an opportunity to spend time with Art Blakey and Philly Joe and Max and Billy Higgins and others, and watching them. And, you know, when you try to model yourself after someone, whether it's music or not, you try to figure out how did they get that sound? How did they, you know, so you watch how they move, you watch how they walk, how they dress, the whole thing. And not that I was trying to mimic that per se, but, you know, those guys will talk to me about conserving energy, you know. So some of that other stuff is just, it's for show, and it looks cool sometimes, but it doesn't help always to serve the music. And that's really at the core of what it is that I'm trying to do.
Maybe, Keith, you could add some more subtlety or nuance to what you hear in Carl's playing from the perspective of a drummer and someone who learned from Carl.
Yeah, well, that's what Carl was talking about last night, was just serving the music when he was really working with the student. He's emptying his pockets right now, giving me some cash to say some nice things. I mean, I met Carl, I think it was 91. This was the Benny Green Trio, Tony Williams Quintet tour, Gilby's Gin, I believe, was the sponsor. Is that 91?
Yeah, it was 91.
And I met him at the Ark in Ann Arbor, and went there with my buddy, and that night really changed my life. We stayed for both sets, and that's the night I knew the records, so we knew all the music you guys were going to play already, and we met. Because I helped tear down the drums, and we met, and I was so taken by your playing and just how subtle you could be, you know, play very softly, lots of space, and then just explode. Mm. Always a lot of surprise happening, but we really connected that day. At least in my mind, we did.
We did. Absolutely.
I mean, it was, you know. You know, can I have your phone number? I'd like to call you and ask you some more questions. And I did. And he answered, and we talked, and we began our relationship then. And then he began to hear me play, and I'd visit and go to New York and things like that. And Carl has always been an influence musically, certainly, because, you know, I didn't get to meet all of the folks that he talked about earlier. I got to hear some of them live and meet some of them, but I didn't hang out with them like Carl. So Carl's my connection to that, as well as, you know, bringing a lot of personal things to the table. So that combination has really influenced me. But also, you know, personally, he's really influenced me a lot. He's been a real mentor and a friend over the years, and has been very kind to me, and has helped me a lot in different ways. With the music business, personally, just all sorts of things. And it's great to be able to call him and just say, Carl, can we talk? You know, and he's there. But then, you know, I can get off the phone with him and then listen to a recording and just kind of fanboy out on it and go, wow, I just talked to this guy. He's my friend, but man, I'm so inspired by him. So
we're off to a good start.
Things that I think about Carl Allen.
Let me mention again, listeners, it is absolutely worth taking those precautions, but in coming out to the Dalton Center Recital Hall tonight, not only will Carl Allen be on stage, but the student jazz players at Western Michigan University, members of the Western Jazz, what is it now, a sextet?
Well, they're all students tonight.
All students.
No faculty. There are 15 students performing with Carl in different configurations, from trios to, I think, octet is the largest ensemble. And so it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of different groups, lots of different composers. Maybe we talk about that in a minute. But and just to say something about the tickets while we're on the subject, it does start at 7:30. Advance tickets are a little bit cheaper. So.
Okay. Well, we'll take a break here and give ourselves a break, I guess. And we've got, I think, the title track from a solo album by Carl Allen, Testimonial, ready to go. Did you want to set it up for us? What, do you remember this project?
I do. It was my second one for Atlantic Records, and this was during a period when I was at the beginning of this period of really trying to understand the connection between jazz and gospel. And so hence the title, Testimonial, and it's kind of infused with a jazz and gospel kind of thing. So,
did you grow up in a gospel?
Oh, absolutely. My mother was a gospel singer. I grew up playing in church. So I was telling some of the students yesterday, I mean, to this day, I probably listen to as much, if not more, gospel than I do jazz, you know. It wasn't always that way, but it's something about that music that I identify with and the parallel between that and jazz music in terms of the sense of urgency and the sense of message and purpose that I love it.
It's called Testimonial, the tune we just heard, and the name of the album, a solo album from Carl Allen. And Carl is here with us today, along with Keith Hall, to preview tonight's concert. It starts at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. You'll get to see Carl play with a whole variety of students, 15 or so handpicked students from the School of Music at Western Michigan University. And going through some repertoire you've recorded before, or something, some newer stuff, perhaps?
Yeah, there's a couple of original tunes. There's one tune recently that I wrote, dedication to a dear friend of mine who unfortunately left us too soon. His name is Roy Hargrove. It's a tune I wrote called Roy's Joy. And some other originals, and then there's a tune by some of my also departed friends, great pianist Mulgrew Miller. Another one by the great pianist James Williams. Another one by the great pianist Cedar Walton. And something else by Grant Green. With a lot of tunes that we're playing. So it's just, we're going to have some fun. You know? That's what it is. That's what it's about.
I was thinking, as you were talking about drumming and fundamentals, that most drummers really need to show up knowing about 10 times more about rhythm than any of the other instrumentalists.
Well, yeah, but it goes beyond that. I think traditionally part of the challenge is assumed that that's all we need to know about is rhythm. And so, you know, Keith and I spend all of our days speaking with young drummers about the importance of understanding about music. And it's not just about rhythm,
the whole thing.
Yeah, you want to be a musician who plays drums. You know, there's a difference, you know, than that of someone who just taps around on the instrument. So,
do you also, you brought up the great jazz drummers who kind of created the sound of the 20th century, like Art Blakey and others. Do those students also need to do their homework there?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think I've always said that every generation that comes along has an obligation to know more than the previous generation, because there's more people that you have to. So, I mean, like, even now, you know, I check out some of the younger guys, you know, because I'm trying to see what they're doing. You know, you want to try to keep it fresh, but there needs to be a foundation that's based off the history of the music.
I spoke to a sitar player who's performing this week, yesterday, and so that tradition was actually held within families for thousands of years, and their particular techniques were often kept secret and handed only from father to son. And that its last few generations, it opened up to anyone who wants to study it. But, you know, if we're talking thousands of years of built-up repertoire, that seems too overwhelming to get started.
Yeah, yes. Like, where do you begin?
Yeah, right? And even with, you know, a 100-plus-year history of jazz, there's an awful lot to go through.
Yeah. Well, you know, you understand you're not going to know it all, and but you have to start somewhere, you know. And it's jazz is so vast that we can still stay within a tradition and still never learn everything, you know. But that's part of the beauty of it. And when I say still within a tradition, I'm not talking about, you know, the smooth jazz stuff. I'm just talking about the tradition of swing. And there's so much music that you can study and still not even really scratch the surface.
Are you also aware of people who have come and gone and are no longer remembered?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then there are a lot of great musicians and composers, Elmo Hope and Horace Parlin and, you know, Sonny Chris. So many that you know, their presence wasn't as felt as widely as some of the more household names. I mean, just talking about drummers, I mentioned a name yesterday that I think most of the students probably had never heard of, by the name of Spex Wright. And here was a guy who was, you know, he died relatively young, but he was a genius, you know. But we have to go back and research those people as well.
Yeah.
You know.
You want to add anything in here, Keith? Because both of you do come at this with an educational perspective. You realize you're keepers of a tradition and you're holding so much love in your hearts for this. And its future is something you care deeply about. What are some of the
ways
you go forward?
What to add, you know, that Mr. Allen hasn't already said in the last day and a half. But yesterday, he was really instilling in some of the students the idea of going deep, and that they've got to do their homework, and they've got to know who the composers are and where they're from and what recording these songs are from, because that's part of the history, and where you're from, that will give you some insight into what the music is about. So Carl's definitely, part of this tradition and this lineage of jazz drummers, but he's also so contemporary, and he's able to take traditional ideas or part of, you know, the traditional language of jazz or drumming, and then morph it in a way that it sounds really fresh. So he'll take an idea from, he even showed us yesterday an idea from Max Roach, and then he would just expand on that, and pretty soon you're not noticing that original piece of vocabulary that he started with, but now it's this whole thing, and he builds this whole solo off of it, and you think, oh yeah, it was that little seed that he started with. And so that's one thing I really appreciate about Carl is that he's steeped in that tradition, but he's continuing on and trying to develop his way of relaying that and expressing himself. So, which is hard to do because a lot of people just regurgitate the tradition, which is really, it's amazing because some people are incredible at that and they do it better than anyone. But we've already heard those players. We've already heard Philly Joe Jones. We don't need another Philly Joe Jones on the drums. We need to hear someone take that and take it to the next step, you know? So I feel like that's what Carl does. And again, there's always this sense of surprise in Carl's playing. Watching the students yesterday at the rehearsal, I mean, he was just pulling the rug out from under them, left and right, you know, and they didn't know what to do. But it was all in love. He wasn't trying to mess anybody up. He was just trying to say, hey, guys, we're having fun here. We don't know what's going to happen. We're going to be in the moment, and we're going to have a conversation, and we're going to be present right here, and let's have some fun. And I think that's what we're going to see tonight, and we're going to hear that tonight.
It's at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Tickets at the door or in advance through the Miller Auditorium box office. The phone number is 387-2300. Several years ago now, Juilliard came calling and asked you to become the jazz drum instructor.
Yes.
At Juilliard. How long were you there?
Well, I was there for a total of 12 years. So when the program began in 2001, I was called to be the drum instructor and the coordinator of small ensemble.
You mean before that, they didn't have a jazz program?
No, not at all. And I was in that position for 6 years, and then I was the interim director for a semester, and then I was appointed artistic director. And like I said, I stayed in that position for 6 years. Yeah. And it was very gratifying, very rewarding, but I felt like I'd done what I needed to do, and it was time to move on and do something else. But
what was your focus? What did you think the students needed most to get out of their time at Juilliard?
Well, one of the things that I was focused on, it was a number of things. One, first several years there, I would have conversations with people who didn't even know there was a jazz program.
Yeah.
Right? So part of my mission was branding. We have to let people know what it is that we do. So how do we do that? There was I used to always say that there's no substitute for the bandstand. But because the scene had changed so much, basically, I was trying to bring the bandstand into the classroom. And by doing that, I would have a lot of guest artists like Hank Jones and Cedar Walton, Paul Motion, Bobby Hutcherson, Christian McBride. A lot of people would come in on a weekly basis where the students would have an opportunity to not only have a master class with them, but quite often concerts and residencies. And every time I would have a guest, we would play their music. Maria Snyder, Branford Marsalis, Christian McBride. And I would say, we're playing your music, and I don't want you to dumb it down. I want the students to feel what it feels like to be part of your band. And it was a daunting task, and I realized it was a pretty bold move, but the benefit was multifold. But one of the great benefits is that probably 60% of the guest artists that we had there would call me later to get a number from some of the students that they heard.
Any particular names now?
Ben Williams, great bassist, got the gig with Pat Metheny because Pat came to hear a concert with Christian McBride we did there, and Ben was one of the students. There were a number of students who to this day still play with Maria Snyder, who she met when she came there to do a master class. It's a lot,
Yeah.
And then a number of those students, I'm proud to say, we're able to get teaching positions right out of school because of some of the educational opportunities that were afforded to them while they were students there. And many of, quite often I would get calls from the dean or the director of jazz studies and say, well, normally we wouldn't hire someone right out of college, but we know the work that you all have done with them.
Right.
So we think they're ready.
Yeah.
So It was really very rewarding, and the whole objective was to try to create opportunities for people.
Do you still live in New York?
I do. Still in the Big Rotten Apple.
Are there enough places to play these days?
I think so. I play more out of town than I do in town. But yeah, New York is still kind of like the spot. See students, young guys playing all the time. Some places that I've never even heard of before, but there's always a scene. In New York, there's multiple scenes, so there's always going to be music there.
My guest is Carl Allen, along with Keith Hall, who also is our host for Jazz Currents here on WMUK. And the concert begins at 7:30 tonight in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. We could take another break for music, I guess.
Okay.
The Pursuer, perhaps?
We could do that. Before we do that, let me just take a second. I won't take too long. Just to show some... shine some love on Keith, because Keith has been here for now, 13 years? Something like that. But he's done an amazing work here. And I, like many, many others, were quite surprised that he wasn't full-time for a long time.
Right.
I remember coming here when I played with Christian McBride, and I think you weren't at the gig.
Yeah, I was out of town,
and I met probably 12, 15 young drummers, and it was a running joke. They said, Mr. Allen, I'm a drummer. I studied with Keith. Well, of course you do. Another one, I'm a drummer. I said, you studied with Keith? Yes. And they all studied with Keith, But Keith has really been doing some amazing work here, and, I know we got to shine some light and some love on him as well, because he's really done an amazing job here.
He's a freaking dynamo.
Yeah.
And that effort and love hopefully will pay off for years to come.
Yeah. But one of the things that's gratifying to be here is that, to see the lineage continue. Of course, he talked a little bit about how, our relationship but spent time trying to help him, and now he's doing the same for the next generation.
Yeah.
That's what we all have to do. You know, the music, we're all really just, we're just stewards of this music. You know, we have to take care of it and try to help other people take care of it and pass it on, you know.
Life is short.
It is. It is. And I've met some pretty cool people, but nobody is as cool is cooler than this music is. So, you know.
Yeah.
So it's,
yeah.
You know, we all have to pass it on.
You can learn a lot about a person just by playing with them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can start those long relationships.
Oh, absolutely.
Just by jamming.
You know, it's funny because a lot of the older musicians would have these different ideas about different things. And I was sharing with Keith the other day. You know, there's a gentleman I used to play with named Bobby Hutcherson. And Bobby said that he feels that based on how you interact with others at the dinner table is an indication of how you would kind of conduct yourself on the bandstand. I said, well, how is that? He said, well, if you're at a dinner table and everyone's eating and no one's asking if you'd like to share their meal, you know they're going to be selfish on the bandstand. So one time I was hanging with Miles Davis. And we were just walking, and he sees a guy crossing the street. And Miles said, look at that guy. I said, what about him? He can't swing. I said, you know him? No. I said, well, how you know he's a musician? Look at the way he walk. I said, well, what do you mean he can't swing? You can't swing walking like that. I said, okay. I had to pay attention to how I was walking.
Yeah. Well, great Miles story. Okay, we'll be back with Carl Allen and Keith Hall. Here's The Pursuer. It's also the title track from a solo album by Carl Allen.
Thank you.
Well, this is live radio, everyone, and that CD did not like the CD player. We were listening, though, to a great track called The Pursuer. It's also the name of Carl Allen's solo album, and there's a lot to choose from. I don't think we mentioned, Keith, that Mr. Allen has appeared on some 200-300 recordings in his career. This is someone who's devoted his life to this music. Although apparently likes gospel a lot, too.
Yeah.
we're going to finish up with another track in a little while with Terrence Blanchard, who just won a Grammy for music from, it's called Blood and Soil, at least it's, if you translate it to German. I think it's from Black Klansman, a Spike Lee movie.
Oh, yeah.
And Carl and Terrence go way back, as well as other great jazz artists. Any lot you can name. For me, a special connection would be Christian McBride. And here on WMUK, you will hear some themes from the first album with Christian McBride and Inside Straight, which includes Carl. And we use the Brother Mister track every month for our Why Is That feature.
Wow.
So you're never too far from WMUK.
That's great.
Well, you want to talk about Christian McBride at all? He's
yeah. I mean, I love all. I always love talking about Christian. He's like my little brother, and I've known him since he was 15. And
he's from Philadelphia.
He's from Philadelphia.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, probably I've recorded with him more than any other bassist of all of the records that I've done. He's the bassist on most of the recordings that I've done, or consistently. But, you know, he's a great musician, great friend, and I've been in several of his bands over the years, and we always say that if a year goes by and we've not played together, which has never happened since we've known each other, when we do play, my beat two in the first measure is going to be hand in glove, you know, because we spend so much time on the road together and hanging and watching football and all kind of stuff. So,
have you seen him actually develop or change styles or change his approach over time?
I've seen him grow and develop and hone his skills on such a level where he's become such a great composer and arranger over the years. And this is one of these guys that can play anything. He has perfect pitch. He's got a perfect quarter note and can, you know, he's got a big band. He's got a trio without drums, which should be illegal, but we'll talk about it. But, you know, he's had another trio, piano trio, you know, bass and drums. And he's got another interesting group now called A New John, which doesn't have a piano, you know. So it's trumpet, saxophone, bass and drums. And but, I mean, he just can do anything. And then his reach is so far outside of mainstream jazz, you know, from terms of the people that he's played with, from Bruce Hornsby to Chaka Khan and Mary Wells of the Supremes and all kind of people. So he's a brilliant musician.
Does it pay to say yes to even the strangest kind of gigs?
Yeah, because it opens up another avenue. You know, I mean, I have a bucket list of people that I want to play with that are not even remotely close to jazz. You know, Bonnie Raitt.
Oh.
James Taylor.
Hey.
You know, Sting. You know, it's Clapton. I mean, I just.
Yeah, that's the thing. You get boxed in.
Yeah.
With the label. Yeah, I'm a jazz player. This Carl Allen is a jazz drummer.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, we try to impress upon younger musicians quite often, when you see someone and you know them for being whatever it is they're known for, doesn't mean that that's all they do. I quite often refer to that jazz drummer with that rock band, and I'm talking about Charlie Watts with the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's a jazz drummer.
Right.
I mean, when he's not touring with the Stones, he's got his own big band. You know, and so it really comes down to it's just great music. You know, the labels is really for marketing people and to help try to sell stuff. So.
Yeah, that's the most helpful thing about a label is to help market it.
Yeah.
Keith Jarrett, you know, we have harpsichord albums of his where he's playing Baroque repertoire in our library. You know,
wow.
But that's not what he's known for.
Right.
And I guess we could include Terrence Blanchard in this, who wrote a really masterful score to Black Klansman. I don't always notice the music when I'm watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I really noticed
the
music in this movie, especially the Western European style.
Yeah,
he just owned it and put it under scenes. That seems made a point somehow. Like, and then plenty of other scenes that used African-American and jazz and blues. And
well, he's another guy that I'm really proud of, because I remember we were playing together when he first started writing for film. And I remember he was, you know, doing stuff with Spike Lee, and he called me. He said, man, Spike wants me to write some stuff for this movie. I don't know how to write for percussion. I said, well, come out of the house. I got a book I'll give you to show you how to write for percussion. He hadn't given me that book back yet, but but a lot of it, he taught himself.
It.
Yeah, well, he's figured it out by now. But a lot of the stuff, he figured it out. He taught himself, you know. And he's a great musician, and he plays great piano, and, you know, so. But, you know, he's a natural for that. Yeah.
It's been about an hour. I don't feel like we've scratched the surface here, but I think we need to wrap it up pretty soon and maybe listen to one of these projects you did with Terrence. Let's remind listeners again that you have one chance to see Carl Allen and see what he might do with these various...
You never know what Carl's going to do.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
You never know, man.
So scrape off that car and come join us tonight at the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Music begins at 7:30 and probably an hour and a half planned or so. You never know.
Something like
about that. Yeah.
Depends on how long the drum solos are.
Okay, it'll be 3 hours.
You know, something different about this concert that we don't do a lot here, and that is that, you know, sometimes we'll have guests in for a residency, and they'll send their music. A lot of times it's a large ensemble, big bands, and the directors will, you know, Dr. Cowan will prep the band and rehearse them and get them all ready to go. The guest comes in, and we're off and running, and they play the concert, and everything is great. In this instance, Carl just sent a bunch of music, and we formed some bands, and I just gave the music to the students. We didn't rehearse. I didn't say, make sure you learn this and that. I said, here's the music. So it was really a professional kind of situation. And last night they showed up to the rehearsal, and we saw if they were prepared or not. And, you know, there are varying degrees, of course, but I was really proud of the students that, you know, a lot of them put in some good work. And then, of course, Carl, you know, really, really dug deep there and showed them, you know, really what the standard is, you know, what's expected in a professional situation like that. And I think it was a great experience for them. But so if you come tonight, you're going to come hearing students that have really done a lot of the work themselves. Mm. And with basically one run through with Carl last night, and then they're going to hit it tonight. So it is really like a real professional situation.
Just so. For all the Western music students right now, there's a warning, there are no practice rooms available currently. They're filled with jazz students.
Hopefully.
No. Yeah, it's an opportunity for some of these young players who already have quite a bit of experience, even coming to college.
And it was fun to watch them, you know, reacting to Carl and saying, wow, okay, I practiced this tune, and I kind of thought this is how it was going to go. But Carl's doing something a little different with it, or there's all these surprises happening. Okay, I've got to be on my toes. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be really exciting tonight, I think.
And a lot of what happened yesterday in the rehearsal will be very different today.
Yeah.
Sure.
But that's kind of the beauty and the nature of this music, you know?
You're not going to let anyone just fall through the cracks, are you?
Maybe. No, we're all there to support each other.
Yeah, once you're playing as a unit,
yeah,
you're sharing.
I think one of the things that may have caught some of them off guard was that I told them, I don't like to over-rehearse. We're not rehearsing all of the solos. You do that at home. You know, just get the tune together, and then we're going to rehearse the ins and outs, a couple of solos, but we'll figure the rest of the stuff out on the bandstand. That's what it is, you know. You know what? Blakey used to have this phrase he called split-second timing. And he said, you know, the way this music happens, it comes from the creator to the artist to the audience in split-second timing. Mm. So, wow. You know, you can rehearse and rehearse all you want. It's going to be different during the performance. So
it's a one-time opportunity tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. You can get tickets ahead of time through Miller Auditorium. The box office number, 387-2300. Carl and Keith, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Carl.
Giving a nice nice preview of this concert. And I need an idea for which classic film.
Clockers.
That's the Spike Lee movie?
That's the Spike Lee movie,
okay.
Yeah.
And this is music by Terrence?
Yes.
Okay. We'll finish up this hour with Clockers then.